Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, and a wild one last night at Citizens Bank Park, a game that saw all kinds of twists and turns. In this one, it looked like a game the Phillies were going to, frankly, win relatively handedly. Scoring started off early with a Kyle Schwarber home run to the opposite field, put them up 2-0. Then Johan Rojas going 441 to deep center. Didn't know he had that kind of power in his bag, so to speak. Phillies take a 3-0 lead. Zach Wheeler was cruising, as Zach Wheeler does. Allowed a home run to Luis Garcia, which made it 3-1. Then the C.J. Abrams double in the seventh made it 3-2, which is when he came out. Strom actually, it goes on Wheeler's pitching line. We made it 2 earned runs for him, but that run coming in was charged to Zach Wheeler because that was an inherited run. Jacob Young on second base made it 3-2, but then in the eighth, thought there was some much-needed insurance, frankly. Trey Turner doubled to right field. Johan Rojas scores despite an, frankly, inexplicable stop sign from Dusty Wathen where he held him up. He paused for like 3 or 4 seconds and then continued home to score. Trey Turner scored on a wild pitch, which made it 5-2. But then in the top of the ninth inning, this is kind of where all hell broke loose, so to speak. James Wood, the runs came in on a James Wood double, made it 5-3. Nathaniel Lowe, a home run to go up 6-5. But this was all perpetuated by just horrendous defense in the ninth inning. Kirkering came in to relieve Jose Alvarado for the ninth inning in a save situation, up 5-2. He gets Jacob Young to strike out to lead off the innings. That's one. Abrams singles. James Wood doubles to center field, but it was a ball that clearly should have been caught because Johan Rojas, you know, when they teach Little League, they teach baseball, you know, they say that your first step should be back, not in. Well, his first five steps were in. And that ball goes flying over his head. A run comes in on it. Then Trey Turner has a throwing error that took Bryce Harper off the bag, and he couldn't apply the tag to Amed Rosario. Kiebert Ruiz struck out swinging, but too many extra chances for the Nationals. Nathaniel Lowe homers to deep right field, made it 6-5. And that defense has been costly. It wasn't just the error on Turner in the ninth. He made a poor play in the eighth with runners on first and third where he was indecisive, technically scored a fielder's choice. The error got removed, but a situation where he should have just gone directly home or directly to the second base bag. He was kind of in between, made a really wild throw. JT Realmuto kind of bailed him out there, catching the throw, stopping it from going to the backstop. Kept everybody in check for the bases loaded, and then Realmuto was able to, Alvarado was able to get out of the jam. But that was an interesting sequence, to say the least. So some bad defense by Trey Turner last night. Basically two errors, one mental error, one physical error. A bad route by Johan Rojas in center field. There was another play earlier in the game that was a tough catch, but looked like he should have had. So the Phillies trail 6-5. And then a weird bottom of the ninth. Kyle Finnegan comes in, allows a leadoff single to Alec Bohm. Bryson Stott pinch hits for Edmundo Sosa, works a walk. Kepler flies out. Bryson Stott stole, or on the flyout, Bo moved up to third. Then Stott stole second in the bottom of the ninth. And then Rojas hit a sacrifice fly. So, I mean, ironically, kind of just, you know, with the chance to make up for their mistakes, Johan Rojas comes up with a chance to tie the game on the sacrifice fly. And Trey Turner came up with a chance to win the game with a base hit, whatever the case might be. But it didn't end up being necessary. Bryson Stott scored on a wild pitch, and that's all she wrote. Phillies win 7-6 on a walk-off wild pitch. I mean, the takeaway of the game for me has got to be the just horrendous defense that the Phillies displayed last night. Johan Rojas, he makes some of the best plays you've ever seen, some of the worst plays you've ever seen. It's just really, really frustrating that, you know, he'll sometimes, like last night, he shows power to center field. He hits the sacrifice fly. But then he can't get a bunt down, or he can't track a ball in center field. And then Trey Turner at shortstop, yeah, he went 4-for-4 last night, but he just can't play the position. Like, it's hard to take a team seriously that continues to throw that guy out at shortstop when he's supposed to be your $300 million player, and he just cannot get it together. He cannot, like, he put down a poor tag in Chicago. He when last night, when push came to shove, he couldn't, like, he threw the ball home, but he was trying to go to second base. That looked really, really poor. And then on the play to Harper, like, that's just inexcusable. It's a routine ground ball to shortstop. You should be able to throw the guy out at first base. And that's what gave him extra opportunities there in the ninth. Like, yes, Kirkering obviously allowed the home run, 4 runs, only one of them earned. But there's no way it should have even gotten to that point. There's no way that the defense, you can't continue to give major league teams extra outs. And if it was a team better than the Washington Nationals, frankly, we would have been looking at the worst loss of the season. But instead, it turns into this, you know, chaotic, hectic game where everyone can be, you know, excited or happy or whatever that, that the Phillies won. Other takeaways from the night. Again, the offense did look significantly better. Bryce Harper continued. He had a hit, but continues to look not great at the plate. I believe he's now 3 for his last 26. Something like that. Turner did go 4-for-4. Did have a double. Did have an RBI. Again, that's the positive way to look at it. Saw some people saying, why are we talking about his defense when he went 4-for-4 last night? His defense sucks. I mean, his defense just flat out sucks, and it is not going to cut it at the major league level. Schwarber had the hit with the home run. Continued his on-base streak to, I want to make sure I get this correct, but I believe it was 35. Now, obviously, Ted Williams, I think, went 84 in a row, so it's not quite closing in on DiMaggio. But Kyle Schwarber, dating back to last season, you can chalk him up to getting on base at least once per game. Nick Castellanos, an 0-for-4. JT Realmuto, an 0-for-4. Bohm did have a hit, a 1-for-4, and then obviously, and it was a timely one at that in the ninth inning. Sosa went 0-for-3. Stott scored the game-winning run. Looked like his hand got a little banged up because he slid in with the left hand. He slid in like head first. Hand got a little banged up on the head first slide. Apparently x-rays were negative. All signs positive there. Weston Wilson started. He went 0-for-2. Kepler 0-for-2 in a pinch hitting role. Johan Rojas went 2-for-3. On the pitching side, Zach Wheeler, 6 2/3, 2 earned runs. Again, when he left, there was only 1 run in. He left a runner on second base, 7 strikeouts, 106 pitches. He looked locked in, as he always does, continuing to bring that ERA, which is in the mid-threes right now, down. But when he is at his best, I'll take him against any pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Strom, again, allowed the inherited runner to score, but looked like he had a clean line, pitching a third of an inning, no runs. Alvarado allowed a couple of hits. Hats off to Jose Alvarado last night, man. Like, he had the bases loaded, nobody out, and managed to escape the jam. So let's, you know, kind of take a look at that inning for a second. Alvarado comes in. Rosario hits for Luis Garcia. Rosario singles to left. Hubert Ruiz singles to right. Lowe reaches on the fielder's choice that was, you know, Trey Turner's fault, so to speak. So you got bases loaded, and in a row, Alvarado goes strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. I mean, that's showing some stones. That's showing some ability to handle adversity. Always think it's kind of funny, too. It never gets old watching a reliever try and manage their own situation, try and work their way out of jams like that that they created. Now, the fielder's choice fiasco wasn't him, but he did allow a couple of singles that obviously led to the jam, but Jose Alvarado able to get out of it. So a relatively clean night, dare I say, for the bullpen. Only one earned run of the six that were allowed. I think the story of the night, again, was the defense and mostly Trey Turner. I tweeted that, like, it's hard to take a team seriously when Trey Turner is your everyday shortstop. And I saw a lot of people replying, like, well, you know, thanks, Captain Obvious, but what are you going to do about it? I'm like, well, for starters, he feels like the third best shortstop on the roster. Edmundo, Edmundo Sosa is obviously a better defensive player than he is. Bryson Stott is has played shortstop in the World Series for this team, I might add. So I think he's just the third best shortstop on the roster, whether you move him to second base, whether you move him to the outfield. He cannot continue to be the shortstop. I mean, you have this is year three of an 11-year contract. He should spend at least 8 of those years, you know, more than 75% of the years on his contract at a position other than shortstop. It's going to end up being a steal for Trey Turner. It's going to end up being a situation where the Phillies clearly overpaid for a guy who does not have any business being at the position he's at, but all things considered, that's kind of where we're at. Like, we're kind of at a situation with Trey Turner where you have to cut your losses and you have to move on from it and just say to yourself, there's no way that this can continue. So, the Phillies Phillies win 7-6 over the Nationals, get the first game of the series. It's the first time they won the opening game of a series since the opening game Friday night against the Marlins. And now that we're in only got to win one of the next two to win the series. Hopefully, you know, every game still weights evenly in the standings in the grand scheme of things. So you'd like to win them all. But dare I say it, they're on a winning streak. If the movie Major League is any indication, they won a game on Saturday. They won the game on Sunday, that's two in a row. And then they won on Tuesday. That's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So nice to see the 3-game winning streak. Hopefully they can turn it into a 4-game winning streak later on tonight when they take on the Nats. A few other thoughts from this game. In addition to the bad defense, in addition to, you know, the bullpen just kind of being as thin as it is. Now, Thompson did go to his high leverage guys, so to speak. He did go to his, you know, guys out there in the pen that are, his high leverage horses and guys that you really feel confident in right now, dare I say. I mean, Strom, yes. Alvarado, yes. Maybe not Kirkering. Kirkering, again, did allow a run. 4 runs total, but I think that was more on the defense. I think in general, it was a pretty good outing for him. So more so the question is how you get through a game like tonight and tomorrow night. And, you know, you got to get through then this Arizona series. You get lucky with another off day before you head back out on the road trip. And then, there's a few off days in the month of May here, May 5th, May 15th, May 26th. But, you know, that's a lot of days in a row that you have to pitch that you're not going to be able to use Matt Strom. You're not going to be able to use Jose Alvarado. Not be able to use Orion Kirkring. And I know it feels like beating a dead horse. However, like, this is kind of where we're at. Like, this is kind of the situation we're at with this team right now, where if Romano comes into a game, do you feel good about it? I know one thing that I hit on Monday's pod was that the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast talked about Romano and how he'd potentially been, you know, tipping pitches. And hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's not just an excuse that Caleb Cotham provided here, so to speak. So I certainly hope that that's true. But like, you're gonna have to get through tonight's game. Christopher Sanchez back on the bump tonight. We'll preview tonight's matchup in just a little bit here. But like, Sanchez on the bump, you're looking at a spot where Sanchez, if he doesn't go more than six innings into a game, you're going to have to go to Romano, and you might have to go to Joe Ross, or you may, or if you go to these guys on back-to-back days, then those guys are not going to be available on Thursday when you want them. And that's the spot where Taiwan Walker's pitching. So it's all a ripple effect. It's like, it's impossible for me to watch this team right now without thinking every time Thompson goes to his, to his bullpen, he has to be like extraordinarily extra careful about how he deploys these guys. He's got to be extra careful about how he ghosts them, because he only has so many bullets. It's still, today's the final day, but it is still April. It's not still early. Here's the rule. You can't say it's still early in terms of having concerns about the team, but it's still early in the sense that you have to get through five more months of the season. You have to get through five more months in navigating this situation, and you have to get through five more months of picking and choosing your spots of when to use your relief pitching. And you might only get help for the last two of them, because you're going to have to overpay for a reliever at the trade deadline. So that's kind of the unfortunate reality of the situation that they're in right now. Let's give you a preview for tonight's matchup. It'll be Christopher Sanchez returning to the bump since he hurt himself after just two innings in New York. So he'll go back on the mound against the Nationals tonight. He did miss one start in Chicago, but they kind of move him back in the rotation here a little bit. And that allowed Zach Wheeler to move up one spot in the rotation. And they will be going up against Jake Irvin, obviously a guy who the Phillies have faced before, as recently as the March 29th game, which was the Saturday game, when the Phillies won 11-6. Irvin went five innings, seven hits, two earned runs, two walks, two strikeouts, 83 pitches. And this was in the phase when the Phillies were making every starting pitcher look like Cy Young. And then they would go into opposing teams' bullpens, and then miraculously, the offense would show up. They were able to kind of get by it last night. The game where they struck out 19 times on opening day was kind of the storyline that everyone wanted to talk about pregame prior to Tuesday's game, because the last time the Phillies faced Mackenzie Gore, that is what happened. Mackenzie Gore had 13 of those strikeouts in six innings. Not nearly as much success, this time around on April the 29th, where Mackenzie Gore, pitched, had a quality start, six innings, five hits, three earned runs, six strikeouts, half the number, and 96 pitches total. So that's kind of where things stand. That's kind of where things are right now, in terms of the Phillies seeing guys for a second time already. The Nationals are the first time, or the first team they are facing for a second time here this season of all the division or league opponents. They face the Nationals in Washington, Atlanta in Atlanta, Marlins at home, Mets on the road, and then this is the first one on the wraparound facing the Nationals at home. So you're getting to see these guys again. In theory, there should be a memory bank there. There should be anyway for guys who pitch in the division, but especially this close apart. So they were able to do some more damage against Mackenzie Gore. Hopefully they're able to do so tonight against Jake Irvin. And again, look, kind of something to watch for here is how Christopher Sanchez is able to respond, how Christopher Sanchez is able to, coming off that injury, work his way, through this and work his way, work his way off this injury, is able to go out there and make a statement, albeit against the Washington Nationals, and go be a horse for this team, knowing that the bullpen is, in the state of where it is. Haven't seen anything from Rob Thompson in regards to like a pitch count or anything like that. Can't imagine he's gonna, pitch him like over 100 or anything like that. I don't know if it's an 80, 85, 90 type of spot for Christopher Sanchez. Don't know how careful they'll be there. But I guess that's something to monitor throughout the game. anytime a guy comes off an injury, in particular, you know, left forearm soreness, so we're talking about a pitching injury, it's not like a guy's leg, like it is on the guy's arm, something to monitor as you watch tonight's game. That's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Again, Phillies and Nationals, 6:45. All three of these games in the series are 6:45. So looking forward to that game two of the series tonight. Hopefully you can get a series win, maybe a series sweep tomorrow. One game at a time here as they try and extend the winning streak to four games and then look ahead to the weekend series against Arizona. Again, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. You can always, as always, follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4, where I tweet out the magic number and other Phillies thoughts. And always come back here for the latest Phillies Today episodes with my co-hosts Francisco Rojas and Justin Morgenstein. Have a great Wednesday, everyone. Hope the Phillies take it tonight. And can get this thing, you know, get this series already in hand heading into Thursday. Have a good one, everyone. Talk to you next time.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.